Blog Talk Radio.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining, new every day, still praying as onward bound, lift at my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on you, heaven's borderland, a higher plane than I have found. Lift at my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay without surprise and fear's dismay. Though some may dwell within about, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith alone. Heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lift at my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, the Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song the saints on higher ground. Oh Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lift at my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till rest I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Amen. Let's see. I know a man standing by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I know a man, I know a man. He's standing by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I never knew a man like this before, who could open so many doors. I know that man, I know the man, standing by the Jordan, he's wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I know a man, I know a man. He's preaching by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I know that man, I know that man. Jesus Christ is preaching by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I never knew a man like this before, who could open so many doors. I know that man, I know the man, standing by the Jordan, his wife and kids from everybody's eyes. I know that man, I know the man, he's praying by the Jordan, the wife and kids from everybody's eyes. I know that man, I know that man. Jesus Christ, he's praying by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I never knew a man like this before, who could open so many doors. I know that man, I know the man, standing by the Jordan, he's wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I know that man, I know the man. He's singing by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I know that man, I know that man. Jesus Christ, he's singing by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I never knew a man like this before, who could open so many doors. I know that man, I know the man, standing by, I know the man, standing, Jesus Christ, do you know that man? I know the man, standing by, I know the man, standing, Jesus Christ, do you know that man? I know the man, standing by the Jordan, wiping tears, from everybody's eyes. Amen. I'd like to say good evening to you. This is Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. It's Thursday night. Amen. Good to see you, Sister Lolita. Good to see you, Sister Cheryl. Good to see you, Brother Edmore. I ain't seen you in a while. I'm glad to have you in class tonight. Mom's on our side as well, and others will be coming in soon. You're either tuning in from Blog Talk Radio, where we are broadcasting not only in the continental United States, but in Norway and Canada as well, or you are coming in through Facebook Live. And so we're so glad to have you this evening. God is an awesome God, but beside him there is no other. It's just, I don't know what your struggles are, what you're dealing with, but God saw fit to have you with us here this evening. God saw fit to have you to come together to take another look at his portion of his word, which is able to edify and lift you up beyond and give you strength to make it through this journey. Oh, amen, somebody. I know what I'm talking about. If you ain't never been down and out, you wouldn't know what it feels like to be up. But it's a blessing that when someone knocks you down, God resurrects you up, that he lifts you up out of the miry clay, gives you strength so you can walk and stand to be a man. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ is the one. Amen, somebody. So let's go to God in prayer. Let's have a prayer. And then if you would meet me at the 31st chapter of the book of Psalms. You know, we do this every Thursday night. This is in collaboration with Armed and Dangerous Ministries and Golgotha Church of Christ and Armed and Dangerous out of Des Moines, Iowa. And so we are having the study to show thyself a full workman that may not need the shame of writing about in the word of truth. This is our Bible study night. I hope you have your pens and papers with you, and I hope you have something to jot down that you'll be able to go back through and study and read and chew on and something that will help you throughout the course of this week, that you will be able to be edified, lifted up, and strengthened, that your servanthood for God will be that much more meaningful to you and that much more pleasing to God than it has been before. Amen, somebody. Bow with me at this time, if you would. Kind righteous Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, to you, we give all honor and praise today, thanking you the very best we know how. We thank you for the rain and for the pain. We thank you for the good times. Father, I'm before us, I thank you for the rough sides of the road. It's those rough sides of the road that build character. It's not the easy thing where we walk on easy street, but I'm finding out that the more that I live, the more you allow me to get up and suck air and give me purpose to work. Father, that it's that rough side of the road that has something in it for us to learn, has something in it for us to grow, has something in it for us to continue to strive to learn what endurance and long suffering is all about, to be able to grip and hold on to God's unchanging hand. It has us to really learn what faith is all about. When you have nowhere else to turn, you got to stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Let God hold you through this time, through the time of difficulty, through the time of mourning, through the time of hurt, through the time of medical discomfort, through the time of all kinds of issues of this life, the things that are going on. We're in a world cesspool of sin, but we serve a God that has a system that's above the cesspool, that has Christ for all crises. And so we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We lift our holy hands today. We thank you, God, for everything that you do in our lives, for everything that you allow us to do, that you give us the strength to continue to climb, that you give us the ability to dig deep into your word, to pull out those golden nuggets that will help us in our daily walk. Father, we love you. We adore you. We praise you on this day. This is our prayer today. It's in Jesus' holy and divine name. We say that on the wings of a dove. We say thank you, and we love you. Amen, and amen, somebody. All right. Psalms 31. And again, I will be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. You'll probably be reading from yours, King James, NIV, New International Version, the American Standard Version, English Study Bible, Revised Version, or commentary of that sort, and that's fine. But we want to understand what it means today to cry out to God for protection. Do you need protection today? I ask that question because many of us may have State Farm or Allstate, guaranteed rate. You have some form of insurance. And as long as you follow the system of insurance and you pay your insurance policy, right, then that policy will be in effect. But don't miss a payment or don't default in any iota or any clause, because what you think you might have, you may find out is not there when you need it. Or they'll continue to collect your money, and they won't tell you, but when it comes time to ante up, then you'll find out maybe 7 years ago there was a problem, and we sent you out a letter. We didn't hear back from you, too. So we're still waiting on that, and party is deceased, or the problems came, or the fires came through, or whatever it is. Could be a number of things. What you thought you had, you don't have. Many of us in religion today think we have what we have, but we really don't have. If you don't have a Christ-centered religion, if you're an anti-Christ troubadour, you don't have what you think you have. Your insurance policy is built on sand and not on that solid rock. See, your insurance policy should give you the assurance, the sound, safe assurance, that when you need it, when you call, that God will be there. Amen, somebody. I serve a God that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as you sit back and take a look at the problem of footprints, there's a distinction there where there's two pair of prints walking through the sand. But at some juncture, there's one pair of feet walking. And the person turns to my Lord and says, why did you leave me? Paraphrasing a little bit. And God says, I didn't leave you. The text, the word says, so that's when I was carrying you. Many of us don't understand that God carries us. He takes care of fools and babies, and I ain't in diapers any longer. I don't know about you. Maybe dependence is your thing, and that's okay. But we need to understand that God is an awesome God, and beside him, there is no other. And so we take a look at the word of God, which not only ensures us, but it assures us that we can stand strong in the midst of adversity. This is David, a psalm of David. And he's writing to the chief musician. And as he writes to him, he wants him to understand that even when you're in a time of deep distress, when you're mingled with expressions of difficulty, engrossed in things that take your attention, you need to have a walk about you, a posture about you, an expression of confidence. And that only comes from insurance and assurance that God is with you. See, when you serve a God that you can't find, you don't know he's there. He sure he'll come when you want him, but he's always on God. But you can't never seem to find him. You don't feel that your prayers are being answered. My question to you, why are you praying? Why pray when you don't believe your prayers are being answered? Why pray when worry overwhelms you? You just pray to a God that you know hears you. And he answers your prayer by faith. We have come this far by faith. You know that song? Can't turn around, right? We've come this far by faith. How far are you willing to go with God today? Is he your rock in a weary land? Is he your shelter in a time of storm? Ezekiel said he's his wheel in the middle of the wheel. But who is he to you? That's the question we need to ask today. Who is God to each and every one of us? I see my wife just came in. I'm long time. Good to see you there, honey. And so we need to understand that God is a very present help in our time of need. And so as we take a look at Psalm 31, express to yourself, look in your own mirror and see how confident you are in the God you serve. And if you find that you're having weak faith, and that's okay. Recognition and realization that you're not what you need to be and that you can be more in God is the beginning of getting yourself more into God. If you are willing to self-evaluate, then are you willing to self-correct? Amen, somebody. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 31, Lord, I seek refuge in you. Let me never be disgraced. Save me by your righteousness. I seek refuge in you. The reading of the King James translation, it says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. What we see here is that God has a righteousness that may not be what we have evaluated to be ours. So first and foremost, take a look at your righteousness, your ability to be all that you can be. And is your righteousness aligned with God's righteousness. If not, that's our starting point. We've got to tune into the frequency of God. We've got to tune into what God has as a lifestyle for us. And we cannot be in error and continue to hang out on the rim or the edge. We cannot bungee jump or just hang around and be a risk taker. Our salvation is too valuable. The end result is too important. Good to see you, Sister Shanara Stimley. Glad to have you in class this evening. I see you, Sister Lolita. And so what we need to do is make sure that we are putting our trust in God. And to the point where we will never be ashamed. My question to you is this. Sometimes you do something for so long that it no longer bothers you. You turn your conscience off like you turn the light switch off in a room. But is God ashamed of you? Is what you're doing, or which is what you've been through, which are you walking so that God can be pleased? You know, that's how God has smiled on me. He has set me free. You know, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Personal testimony. If God's been good to you, how good of you to him. See, in a relationship, it takes two. You have a part, and because the other part, and the other person, or the other party has a part. God has done his part. God is continuing to do his part. Even right now, we have a lifeline reached out to you, an arm stronger that can carry you. Will you reach out and connect on to the everlasting arm? Put your trust, put your belief, put your life in the hands of God. See, don't say that you trust God and you worry about stuff that you know God can take care of. Try God on even the more difficult, intimate stuff. Don't think he don't know that you've been in error. Don't think he don't know that you've done something that you did. You can't hide from God. That's the trick of Satan. Thinking that you have hid from God who sees everything, who's all-knowing, and is omnipresent. Matter of fact, he was there when you was doing what you was doing. So, can we turn it over to him? Can we get to a place, even in our guilt, that we say, listen, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm turning back to thee. And I'm starting to get myself together. See, the beginning, the road of recovery begins with godly sorrow. Recognition and realization that you have sinned, you are not all that you should be. And now, even in my mourning, now even in the belly of my hurt, now even in the demise of my turn, I'm turning back to you. That's what perfection is, turning to God. Quit doing getting busy doing 360s. Turn from God. Turn to God. God will forgive you. God is waiting on you with open arms. God loves you more than you can even spell love. There is Lord in God and Lord in love. There is openness in God and openness in love. There is victory in God and victory in love. There is everlasting eternalness in God and everlasting eternalness in love. Turn to God today. Trust God. You need a friend? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Not one. No, not one. Put your trust in him. Never, never, never be ashamed. That means you have the power. You have the mental assent to not let Satan control your mind, but to feed your mind what's good. Feed your mind what's God. And walk so that God will be pleased. Do you have God's deliverance? Certainly you do. In times when it hurts, in times when things are difficult, when you know you have nowhere else to go, when you feel incarcerated, now you want God. Can you have God when things are going well? Yes, you can. God can help you stay on the straight and narrow. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. To guide you and remind you to continue to. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. What ashamed you today? Let it go. Deliver me in your righteousness. Notice what he says. Save me by your righteousness. Verse 2, listen closely to me. Rescue me quickly. Be a rock of refuge for me and a mountain fortress to save me. I need to be here. I need to be heard. I got something to say, Lord. I'm messed up. I broke down. I don't deserve your attentiveness. But at this time, Lord, would you at least hear me? And I'm trying to get myself together. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. That means I'm in a jam. You ever been? Come on, y'all. You ever been in a jam before? I used to work for Samuel L. Edwards. And he had a note on his door. It was a cash container that would always say, an emergency on a fire drill on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. Because the way you look at situations and the way we handle situations may be totally different. Same thing with God. What you're pulling your hair out about, what you're going, what you're not sleeping, what you're going crazy about, like the apostles on the ship, God's sleep. It ain't even worth losing a good couple weeks for. But if you feel it's important that he hear you, God will get up. He'll get up and he will deal with your situation. He hears you. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. You need a rock in a weary land. You need a bedrock, not a pebble. You need an unmovable rock. You need an anchor that you can hold on to. When the wind's blowing, it's blowing at such a velocity that it has you up in the air. You have to hold on to something. And what you're holding on to, you have to make sure it won't let you go. If it's too weak to handle the wind, then you and it will keep flying. But if you're anchored, even though your feet are in the air, and you hold on, that bedrock will carry you through that storm. And that storm ain't going to last always. It's going to die down. Normalcy will start to come back. But all of a sudden, there might be some damaging effects that you have to deal with. Lord, I'm dealing with something I need you to listen closely to. I need your attention. And I need you to rescue me quickly. Remember, Peter thought he saw a ghost and he's in the ship on the water. And he realized it was the Lord. And he said, Lord, let me come to you. And the Lord granted him permission. Come on out. And Peter, as long as he had his eyes fixed, his affection on Jesus, he's walking on water doing something he never thought he'd be able to do. Why? Because God's holding him up. That's how our faith is. It will give us the ability to walk in areas and move in areas that we never thought we had the ability. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. But as soon as you take your eyes off God, you get like me to live safely. Because I'm drowning out here. That's right. Your problem is too big for him to handle. He can do all things. He can fix relationships. He can fix bad marriages. He can fix bad people. He can turn you around if you're willing to. He can deal with your addiction. Matter of fact, he wants you to be intoxicated with him. Be addicted to Jesus. Make him your all in all. So what we see here is if you want God's attention, if you need God's attention, God has got an ear that's ready to hear you. He's attentive and he can't wait to talk to you. He's that strong rock. That the elements of nature listen to. He's that security defense system that even Satan can't break. Amen, somebody. If you have a security defense system that wears against Satan, why would you not keep it on at all times? Be a rock of refuge for me. Refuge is that place I go for safety. That place I go when I'm hurt and I don't have to worry about being attacked. Jesus is that place. My wife always says, if we just keep our little hand in God's big hand, everything's going to be all right. When's the last time you took hold of you? God died for you. Good to see you, Sister Ruby Andrews. Ruby Andrews. Ruby Williams, amen, somebody. Sister Brittany Nicole, good to see you this evening. God bless you. When's the last time you seriously given it over to God? Something you don't have to be ashamed about, that you can bow down, that even your most intimate situation, that he's trustworthy. He ain't gonna run around and tell your business to everybody. He gonna help fix your problem. But he's a God that loves you and don't want to lose you. He loves you so much he died for you. Verse 3, for you are my rock and my fortress. Can you say that? See, many of us walk around, oh, I'm a Christian, we want to wear a cross, but are you bearing the cross? See, Jesus, as a Christian, was crucified. He was ridiculed, persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the cause of Christ, for the cause of God. But he would not give up. Humanly, he did not want to have to deal with this. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He's mission-minded. What is your mind today? Do you have a mind centered on God? What's your mission today? What has God done for you today? What is your purpose today? Are you ready for what the Lord has for you? There are some characters and some characteristics we need to understand. But we need to understand that God loves us so much that he's here for us. He is that rock, that fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Do you know that many times because of war and because of the vulnerability of war that they would build a fortress up on a high mountain. And there was some reasons for that, because with the wall being up and being elevated on a high mountain, as your lookouts could take a look, the enemy would have to climb up to you and would take weary of being able to be saw as they started to plan an attack. So you could prepare and stay prepared. Unless they got there, they had to climb the wall or bust into the fortress somehow. Well, you was always prepared because you had the upper the upper thrones first so that you can always get them. But if you were not tuned in, you could lose. We need to understand that God is always ready. He's at fortress. He lifts. He elevates us and builds a high wall covered in the blood of Jesus. Are you willing to be led? See, when you say lead me and guide me, that means that you are willing to surrender to whatever direction God has for you. If God says go left, you go left without question. See, many of us are not there. Many of us are not ready to allow the Lord to lead us and to guide us because we want to have some say-so in our direction. But when you surrender and you lay yourself on the altar, when you get in that wheelbarrow and you allow God to push you on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls, when you have no ability in your transportation on one side or the other, but you're totally depending on God, and you know that he's never lost, so he won't fall, we won't fall, even in a wheelbarrow on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls, we will not crash. We will make it to the other side. When you have that kind of trust in God, we have the same trust that Moses had when he's standing at the ear of the Red Sea, nothing but water in front of us, nothing but mountains around him, and Pharaoh's troops coming at him from behind. It looks like a death sentence. And he has all of them and the Israelites out here. And he lifts up his rod and says, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And God parts the waters like an elevator, lifts up dry ground, and they're able to cross over at ear of the Red Sea from dry land through water on dry land to dry land on the other side. Then as Pharaoh and them get there and they see them crossing, they run as well. But as soon as the last person gets to the other side, what was the stability now becomes muddy. Your chariots, your wheels are not turning, your horses cannot run and water. And then what was your salvation ended up being their death sentence. Come on, somebody. What has saved you might be the very thing God has to take someone else out. So as we hope, trust, and pray, as we give God allegiance on today, as we lift up holy hands and we shout hallelujah glory today, how deep is your love? How much do you love God? How far will you go for God? Is he your rock in a weary lane? For you are my rock. You are my fortress. You lead and guide me because of your name. 7 verse 4, you will free me from the net that is secretly set for you. Woo! Come on now. You will lead me, pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. People have set traps for you. Come on now. Remember Haman. He's built this guillotine. And he ended up hanging his own head on the guillotine that he had set for himself. He had a trap set for someone else, and it took him out. God will now, you cannot thwart God's plan. Folks will come at you. Don't worry about that. Let God handle those problems. Good to see you, Brother Tito. We serve a God that's better to us than anyone and is more dedicated to us than anyone. God loves us. His love is so deep, it's wrapped around. Have you ever had a security blanket? Tell me a situation when it's cold and all you had was a blanket. And if you had enough room in the blanket, you would wrap yourself in that a couple times, right? So you were totally covered. Right? So that you could be warm and you can be covered. That's the type of security we're seeing here in the 31st chapter of the book of Psalms. He said, Lord, I need a strong rock. I need a defense that will save me. I need you to be my fortress. But I also need you to guide me and lead. See, we can say, God, we want you to be there, and God is always there. But when God says, when it's time for me to lead you, where are you? When it's time for you to surrender and to follow, where are you? See, a disciple is more than just a, let me just walk behind you. It's learning. And see, I've got to a point in my life at 53, thank you, Jesus, because so many people haven't made it here. No real health ailments, no real issues. Father, thank you, Jesus, for what you do for me. But I've got to a point in my life where I understand that in order for you to lead me, I must surrender and listen to your direction. See, some of us need a class. Some of us need to spend more time in our dojo, not listen to what the pastor said, but listen to what the master said. Not always walking around by what you've been told. Have you sat back and studied God's word for yourself? Are you able to defend that God is real? Have you had any real experience with God that nobody can take him from you? That you can't tell me he's not real. That an atheist cannot convince you. That an agnostic cannot twist you. Where are you at with Lord? Has God showed himself real to you? Have you ever been in a situation where you just started to sweat because you knew God was the very best thing that's ever happened to you? You ever been in a situation where you just started to cry because you know that it was nothing but God that got you out of a jam? God's goodness is better to us than we would ever understand. That's why I sing. That's why I shout. And that's why I stand. No longer am I being misled or misguided by errant missiles with two legs on them. No longer am I allowing people to feed me junk when I know how to go and eat myself. And when I go to the Word of God, which has no lie in it, if what I'm hearing is verified by the scriptures, then I will place it into my belief system and walk accordingly. But if there is a ripple or a fork in the road, if there's a crash, the Word of God has to stand. And you have to be strong enough to say no to everything and everybody when God has said yes to you. One of the toughest things we have to deal with is Abrahamic faith. And I believe that we all have to come to the crossroads of life, much like Abraham did in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, much like Abram did in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. Good to see you, Sister Jody Aldini Zapata, or Brother Dan somewhere around. God bless you, two of you. We're in Psalms 31. But we need to understand that we serve a God that no matter what your problem is, no matter what you're going through, no matter how deep is your debt, Jesus paid it all. He's here for us. And he loves us so much that he was willing to die for you. Let me tell you something. Some folks won't even stub their toe for you. Some folks won't give you a plum nickel for you. But here's a God, here's the God, giving you blood, that shed his blood for you. Took our place so that we might have life and have right back into the right of the tree of life. Reconcile us back to the Father. Covered by his blood. That's the God who went chosen for us before many of us was even born. But here, we're too sophisticated now. We're Generation X or Generation Y and Z. We're baby boomers or what? We've got too educated for God that we cannot even understand who God is. Good to see you, Brother Steve Carter. Psalms 31. We need to understand that God has done for us what we can't do for ourselves. Now it's time for us to line our life up for Him. Because He loves us. Be strengthened by the Word. You have God to get you out of the jam. When He gets you out of the jam, quit running back into the jam. Look what the Word says. Verse 3, for you are my rock and my fortress. You lead me and guide me because of your name. You will free me from the net that is secretly set for me. People will set a trap for you. You don't want to like to step into a bear trap. Well, the tree, you step, even though you don't see it, you step and bang, and all of a sudden the trap passes you. It's like walking through a landmine field. But God can navigate you around it. Even if you set all the bear trap, God can grab it and make sure it don't touch you. Even if you find yourself in the lion's den, God can get the lion locked jaw. Amen, somebody. Daniel, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Found themselves in a fiery furnace, bound up, thrown in the furnace, bound. Nebuchadnezzar had to turn it up. And as they opened it up, those folks that had turned it up got singed. But Nebuchadnezzar said, hold on, he started scratching his head. Paraphrasing now. Ask those around, hold on, didn't we throw three in there? They were bound when we threw them in, right? No mobility, right? He got affirmation, he got approval from everyone. Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. He said, well, there's something else going on up in here. See, when God's on the scene, something else is always going on up in here. Because he says, now, we know this is what we need. What I see is Saul running around, enjoying themselves in the midst of the furnace, where the fire is not consuming them. See, God can even be a fire with them. He can cool the fire even in the midst of the furnace. Where you're going to be having chances, you're going to be having a good time. And when you once was bound, you're now loose, and you're running around. Nebuchadnezzar says, I saw three. He said, well, then I saw one more that looked like the Son of God. God won't even leave you in the midst of a fiery furnace. Let Him set a trap for you. I've been crucified spiritually. But God resurrected me. And I'm a testimony to all that you can stand. But even those who should stand for you, who should stand with you, who should be leading you, and who should be mentoring you, even when they fall, God is still good. Matter of fact, God is so good that He's better than good. I had someone tell me, man, look, God ain't good, chicken is good. I said, you're right. If it's cooked right, chicken is good. He said, God is awesome. And that's why the word awesome, because every time we take a look at what God does, He leaves us in awe. You cannot fathom what God does for you and what God will do for you. Verse 5, and this is us and we'll be yours. He says, you will free me from the net, verse 4, that is secretly set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I entrust my spirit. You redeem me, Lord, God of truth. If you don't realize nothing else, you need to realize that God is the beginning and the ending of truth. He is the Alpha and Omega of the Word. He needs to be the Alpha and Omega of your life. But let me come a little closer. He needs to be the Alpha and Omega of every minute of your day. Allow God to take a place, temporal lobes of your brain, where you make your decisions. Before you send an impulse to the rest of your body to lift your hand or kick your foot or move your mouth or say this, allow God to just reside in there. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And when the Holy Spirit is your rudder, when the Holy Spirit is your guide, when the Holy Spirit is your joystick, your joy comes from God. He will never lead you to a place that Jesus will be pleased for. He will never guide you to a spot that the Lord will be happy with. Now, he may navigate you to some place that's outside of your normal physical comfort, but spiritually, God knows how to place you, and he knows how to take care of you. When I trust God, it means I no longer have power in my hand. I've surrendered it all. Oh, trust and pray this lesson has blessed you. If you're here today and you need a little more trust, you need a little more Jesus, you feel like a victim, and you don't recognize that victory is yours. Good to see you, Brother Willie Gray. We understand that we serve God who helps us in our time of need. Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. The rod and thy staff, they come from me. Will you allow God to comfort you? Will you allow God to never let you walk alone? See, many times God is there. He wants to hold our hand, but you drop his hand. You know how you get in a relationship and things get difficult and you let go? Don't let go of God's hand. Allow God to guide you, to lead you, and to move you through the land that is alive. If you're here today and you need something, Jesus has come unto you, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want to talk about it a little bit more with me, call in right now on our Blog Talk Radio line, 619-924-0767. We'll talk about it. 619-924-0767. Let's talk about it. If you have an issue, something you want prayed for, let's pray. I'll pray with you. Fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. When two or three are gathered together in God's name, he's in the midst. Prayer will do what your pistol won't do. Prayer is a power that you have that you don't even use. Stop screaming at people and bend your knees and watch God move on your behalf. It's decision time. You need help? Jesus is a very present help. Comes by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized in the watery grave for the remission of your sin. If you've obeyed God's call by doing those things, God will give you a gift as he's granted you a spiritual birthday, and that gift will be the Holy Spirit. You don't get the gift of the Holy Spirit until after you've surrendered to the gospel call. You can't be baptized in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. That was the 12 apostles on the day of Pentecost. The they and the them, or the them and the they. Right? What we have to do is surrender. Every last one of us, every graveyard traveler, every dusty-eyed man or woman must follow Acts 2:38. Remember what Peter says in 2:36? Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, there's your assurance, that the Lord Jesus, the same night when he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup after his supper, said that this cup is a New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. That's what he said over in Corinthians, right? But what he said in Acts 2:38 is, repent and be baptized, every last one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of my sin, remission of your sin. For you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises unto you, to your children, and all that are far off, even as many of the Lord our God shall call unto himself. Why did you do it that way? Because many of us want to have a communion with God, and we have not even partaken as regenerated children of God. You have to do it by protocol. Surrender to God first. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Once salvation is yours, once you're under the umbrella of the blood, once you're covered by the blood, once God has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, now you must commune. Now you must live faithful unto death to leave it, to have a crown of life that faded not away. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't need no one. You just need to surrender. You need God deeper than you need. Have a great day. Love you so much in the name of Jesus. And tune in as we come back and we study to show ourselves approved. Call in on the conference line. We'll talk to you soon. God bless in the name of the Lord. All right. Are you there, honey?
I am. That was excellent. That was so powerful. Oh, my goodness, that was powerful. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was an excellent lesson. Wow. God is good. God is awesome. God is. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for life. Thank you, Jesus. That was awesome. Whew. Preach Jesus. That's all you got to do is preach Jesus.
We serve a God that'll make us sweat.
Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, yes, yes.
And any comments on the resume?
Awesome. I said that was awesome. That was just, that was breathtaking. I have to swallow that. I have to go home and digest it. I want to study that deeper. That was, I just want to make sure that my relationship is giving the power, I mean, the will to just strive to make my relationship stronger with God and do the things that God will have me to do, because the blessing is it's unbelievable. It's awesome, as you said. Awesome. Thank you for that wonderful lesson. That was good.
Appreciate you so very much. Okay. Well, we're going to close out. And for those on Blog Talk Radio, this is my wife. And just continue to pray for us. We continue to strive to do God's will. And we allow God's word to transform us. For it's in that metamorphosis that God does in our lives that helps us to serve others. We love you. We adore you. Do something for somebody today they can't repay you for, giving Jesus Christ and him crucified. Love you in the name of Jesus. God bless you in the name of the Lord.